Welcome to episode 6 of Begging Unconvincing, a pop culture podcast. I'm your host, Wim, and thank you for listening once again. As I said last week, I want to catch up on some shows, and I did finish the second season of The Expanse, and I want to get some Star Wars news in also. I also want to lead off with Kevin Smith, and if you listen to my first episode, I kind of stated that Clerks was one of my top 5 favorite movies. He's the godfather of podcasting, and all these celebrities that do it now that are popular, they all started because of Kevin. I love the man and the majority of his work, and he seems to be doing really well, and I hope he keeps going. We need more Kevin Smith, and his positivity is infectious. I do this podcast because of him. He tells you, take a stab at it. Who knows? People may like it. The more you do, the better you'll get. And so get well, Kevin. Don't go anywhere. We kind of need you. You're our hero. Now, a bad segue on to The Walking Dead. Now, if you're not caught up, I'm not going to spoil anything. Just wanted to add that, so far I'm just not quite digging it this season. 2 weeks ago, spoilers, they killed off Carl, which was odd, as I believe in the comics, that they seem to focus on him. His performance was good, but I'm just not feeling it as I had with the previous seasons. I don't know. I hope the writing gets better. It just feels like there's something missing to it. Walking Dead is just one of those shows that, for me, I watch it right away. I give like 20 minutes my TiVo, then I start watching. So I can fast forward through the commercials, and I want it to return to form. One can dream. Hopefully we'll get there, and the show will go on. The Oscars were also last Sunday. If you watched them, I only picked the top 8 categories. You can see it on my Twitter feed, and I got at least 4 of them right. Two of them that I got wrong, I kind of knew they were going to be wrong, but I like those performances better. I picked Sally Hawkins for Best Actress in The Shape of Water. I just thought she did a better job than Frances McDormand, but I also picked Christopher Nolan for Best Director. If you watch Dunkirk, he just did an amazing job at keeping tension through that entire film. I saw it in the theater, and I was nervous the entire time. There's something that should be said for that, and should be applauded on that. For supporting actress, I kind of picked Laurie Metcalf. Lady Bird was a bit of a strange movie, and she was great as this just bad mother, and that the screenplay, I picked Logan because I just wanted that movie to get some respect, because I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie. Shape of Water was just a wonderful movie, and you can't argue with any of the awards it received. Guillermo del Toro won, Best Picture. I had it picked as Best Picture. He won the Best Director, or I should say. I had it picked as Best Picture. Can't argue with it. I mean, the movie was just beautifully shot. Everything just looked so great. How he directed everything in that movie. No arguments for me. Gary Oldman just nailed Churchill also. There was no doubt as to who was getting that award. He was just fantastic. I generally don't watch the Oscars, but I always pay attention to who wins. That's our Oscar coverage on that. I did finish season 2 of The Expanse, as I said earlier, and wow, that was really good. I really liked it. Excited for season 3, which starts in April. I will be glued waiting for that to go on. TiVo is set. I was also suggested to read the books, as they add a lot more to the story. Who knows? I may jump into that. I have a bit of ADD sometimes, so I'll start to get bored. I'll not pay attention and start doing other stuff, when I'm watching stuff. But I paid attention the entire time of that. I was hooked. I liked the characters. I liked the Earth versus Mars with the Belters caught in the middle. It was just a very good television. It was a good story. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to season 3. And kind of on the same note, I'm halfway through Altered Carbon on Netflix. It's okay so far. I probably didn't help that I started watching it right after I finished The Expanse. So I don't seem to care that much about the characters. Maybe because partially, the main character is a criminal, really. He's a murderer. So I can't quite pinpoint it yet, but I'm still watching it. It's not that bad. It's certainly worth your time. I'm going to keep watching. I'm looking forward to starting Jessica Jones season 2 on Netflix, too. I'll give that a review, too, after I watch all of that, too. I have on my TiVo, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I just have a hard time for that show for some reason. I'll let the episodes stack up and I'll start to watch them. It's entertaining, especially this season. Was much better, as right now I'm on the end of the mid-season finale, which was when they were in space or in the future. So that's the episode I'm out. The same thing for me is with Legends of Tomorrow. It's kind of one of those shows that it sits around a little bit for me, and it's tough for me to finish. If you know me from the Sith list and my letters to them, I'm a DC whore. So, but that show was hard for me to watch. You know, Supergirl, Flash, Black Lightning, Arrow are all good, but Legends and Agents of the Shield, I kind of struggle with at times. I'm also rereading Ready Player One in anticipation of the movie. I don't reread books very often, but I've read this book 3 times already, previously. The 4th time I'm reading it now. It's kind of, in a nerd way, it speaks to me. You know, hopefully I can figure out a way to see it. I prefer to see it in the theater, but I can go to the drive-in if the drive-in's open. Hopefully one will be open by then, but it snowed just a few days ago. You know, I live in the Northeast United States, so you never know when that's going to open. It could be end of April by the time they open up the doors, and by then I'll be free to go out in public and join the regular population on there. Now on to Star Wars news. A lot happened, but I'm going to kind of go through everything that I have since my last episode. So, The Last Jedi novelization came out on Tuesday. I'm about 17 chapters in, I think. And I'm glad to see this is nothing like the novelization of The Force Awakens, which was horrible. That read like a screenplay. I want to read the characters' thoughts. I want to know what they're thinking. And so far, so good. It's done a really good job of doing it. The book starts at Han's eulogy and then proceeds where the movie starts. And yes, Poe does call him General Hugs in the beginning. Not Hux. When he's putting him on, thinks he's on hold. Or, well, wasting time, really. I'll certainly give you a full review when I complete it. The movie comes out on digital on the 13th, so I'll overwatch that once it's out, too. Now, on to Rebels. I'm going to kind of spoil this, so if you haven't seen it, just skip on by this part for the next few minutes. You know, ready? Okay, so I did really like the episode. The last 5 minutes, or the epilogue, so to speak, was really, really good, too. I thoroughly enjoyed that part. It kind of takes a look at the future. They mentioned that Rex was at the Battle of Endor, and that, pardon me, joking about it in previous areas, that Kanan didn't get anything, but it turns out he did. He actually did hit that. So, high five to Kanan. Dave Filoni also confirmed that Ezra and Thrawn are both alive. Who knows where? But those two characters, you don't know where they are. They are still out there. I do like how they explained Ahsoka. Vader is supposed to be the most powerful Force user, the Chosen One, so to speak, and there's no way that she would, beat him or survive that battle. Very much dug the explanation that Ezra kind of pulled her out, and then, she goes back in, and he's already gone, so she's just, she's stuck on that planet. Just wondering how she got off there, how she hit to ride off that planet, It's not like, popular tourist destination of a lava planet with nothing on it, But whatever. Hey, maybe that's why she doesn't show up till after Return of the Jedi and the end of rebels there when the epilogue part, you know, so could be. I'm glad they didn't compromise the story either, because it's considered a kid's cartoon, you know. They went gangster. There was a lot of death, you know, a lot of on-screen death too, both stormtroopers and rebels alike. It was nice to see that they didn't hold back and, you know, tell the story that they needed to tell without making it feel like it was a kid's show. I understand Lucas always said he wrote all his Star Wars movies for, you know, a 13-year-old boy. Is really what he said he wrote them for. But it's good that they, you know, it's still understandable at that age. When I was 13, that would have been a little harsh. But it's a different time now. So they didn't. I did have a few issues with it. The first being the Return of the Space Whales. I hated that episode when it was on. It was really bad. It felt like it was... it just didn't belong in there. You know, I think at one point, maybe Dave Filoni said to himself, "Oh, fanboy, you want to complain about the space whales? Well, they're coming back and they're going in the final episode, no less." So, you know, at least he didn't have helicopter lightsabers. Happy about that. We can be thankful. One question I would like to propose. Wasn't Scarif considered to be the Rebels' first victory? If not, what was this? What was Lothal then? You know, what was that? Rogue One showed us they barely had it together to fight that battle, and that was considered a victory. And when in the end, they really got it handed to them. They may have won, but they clearly got beat. And but Rebels certainly shows them victorious. You know, they liberated an entire planet. You know, I don't think a cartoon, which is considered canon, should be going against what was laid down in New Hope. You know, just my opinion. Otherwise, the final season was great of Rebels. Suggest watching it. Hope it didn't ruin it for you. Also, the latest news was that Jon Favreau will be writing and be the executive producer for an upcoming live-action Star Wars show that will be shown on the Disney streaming service. Excited for this. No details were given about the timeline of this either. I explained this before about how I thought that to keep the cost down, they should focus on like one area and one building or one station, so to speak, and build stories around it, like the cantina or something to that effect. But watching recent shows like The Expanse and Altered Carbon, they never use that strategy to keep the cost down. And let's be honest, they don't. You know, like Netflix and such, they may be big, but, you know, do they have the money to waste? Like Disney can unload on a series if they wanted to, you know. Certainly every Star Wars fanboy, myself included, will be the first to sign up for this streaming service if there's new Star Wars content. You're not going to hear any complaints from me about it. You know, some of the fan base really needs to relax, though, with talk of another old white guy getting the rate of Star Wars content. You know, I said it before, I'll say it again. When the time is right, they will, without a doubt, give these opportunities to black and female directors and writers. You know, pitch it, make it good, make it fit, make it go. And I'm sure the woman who is in charge of Lucasfilm will give them the job without any problems. Also, the press release states that Favreau will executive produce and write the show. I don't think it said that he would be directing, but if it's a show, it's an ongoing show, it's going to have multiple episodes regardless, so I doubt he's going to direct all of them, or even write all of them. So, I mean, there's plenty of room for different directors and writers to come in, and, you know, it took the MCU, you know, 10 years and over 18 films to get to that point. So, we're only 3 films in, and so far, Kathleen Kennedy approves that she is more than capable at running the direction of Lucasfilm. And I, as a fanboy, have full faith in her and what she's doing. So I'm completely happy with everything. On last week's show, I totally forgot my top 5. So this week I'll do a two-parter. Best and worst on-screen chemistry. I'm going to have to show my guilty chick flick pleasures on this one. But, You know, we'll start with the worst on-screen chemistry first. At number 5, I do love me some redheads, but Nicole Kidman and Val Kilmer in Batman Forever was just bad. With the movie wrapped with over-the-top performances, there was more chemistry between Tommy Lee Jones and Val Kilmer than there was actually with Nicole and Val. Number 4, Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss in the Matrix trilogy. Yeah, you know. Number 3, Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen in Episode 2 and Episode 3. Natalie had more chemistry with Jake Lloyd than she did with Hayden. You know, I love Episode 3, and it's high on my favorite Star Wars movie list, but that was just bad, and I wasn't buying it between the two of them. Number 2, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez in Geely. The sad part, they were an actual couple when they filmed this. I wonder why it didn't work out for those two, you know. My worst pick for on-screen chemistry is, and I'm going to butcher the names on these, is Claire Duvalny, I believe, and Dane DeHaan, and Valerian. It was so bad, it ruined an otherwise decent movie. If you took that out, the movie really isn't that bad. The love story plot is just horrible, and those two just do a terrible job selling it. And it just made that movie unbearable. So that's my top 5 worst on-screen chemistry. But now on to the top 5 best on-screen chemistries. Number 5 is Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in The Wedding Singer and 50 First Dates. I totally bought them as a couple. They were great. The Wedding Singer takes place when, you know, I'm in high school at that time when that movie takes place. So I was feeling everything in that, and those two work together great. Number 4, Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams in The Notebook. Number 3 is Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman from Casablanca. In my previous top 5 favorite movies, Casablanca is number 1 for me, so no surprise here. One of the many reasons that I love that movie. Number 2 is Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. They're in Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail. They just worked. And my favorite is Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. That's Redhead done right there. You know, my wife loves Pretty Woman, but I'm more of a fan of Runaway Bride, believe it or not. I like that movie much better, but there's no denying that they work well together. Let's not forget, Julia Roberts is a hooker in Pretty Woman. So, you know, 28 years later, she still looks amazing. Sure, my redhead bias is shining through. Those two are just work so well together on screen. And that is my top 5. Hopefully, I won't forget it again. If I do, you can certainly give me a hard time about that. Couple shout-outs here at the end before I finish up and close it up. I want to say happy birthday to my brother Joe. He turns 49. He's 2 years older than me, so he turns 49 on the 10th. Just happy birthday, Joe. I know you listen. Thanks for listening, and it's good to have you in my life again, too. Thank you for that. I also wanted to give a shout-out to my new Twitter friend, Simon, who messaged me after hearing my email read on the Sith List podcast. You know, basically, I kind of do, you know, I write the show here, and I send them an email kind of going over what I'm thinking about there, and they're always great, and they always read it, and Simon had emailed me, and he just said that, you know, he kind of went under the stem cell procedure back in 2006 and has been cancer-free ever since. I know Twitter can be, you know, a horrible place sometimes, but for the most part, I've only experienced good things, and people like Simon have been through what I've been through, going through, you know, make it a good place. So thanks for following me, Simon. I appreciate it. My personal Twitter handle is @TheWim, and if you're not a bot, I'll follow you back. You know, hey, let's talk about some other stuff, too. I like IndyCar. I really like IndyCar, too, which I know not many people do. It's kind of a weird fringe sport, but IndyCar racing is my thing. They open up on Sunday in Tampa. St. Petersburg, Florida. They race out on the airport, so I'll be tuning into that. I'll try to watch qualifying and watch the race. Best thing I like about IndyCar is they're going like 200 miles an hour and they chant at each other. So if you've ever been to the race live, it's really cool. I mean, they're like inches apart from each other, but yet they're going 200 miles an hour. If they touch, they're going to knock themselves both out of the race, and they're very conscious about that, and it's just amazing racing to see that. That's what I got so far. That's what I got this week. So we'll follow up with some other stuff next week or whenever I get around to recording again. If you want, like I said, my personal Twitter handle is @TheWim. And the email for the show is vagueunconvincing@gmail.com. The show Twitter is unvaguepod. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/vagueunconvincing. I'd love some feedback if you got it, you know, so get in touch with me. Let me know what you think. Tell me how horrible I am. I can't stand my voice or stupid laugh or my ums or whatever. I'm working on that. That's why I'm, you know, kind of doing this on my own right now until I work my way through everything and figure out how to go. Because, you know, I didn't think my opinions were any different than any of the other hosts on there. You know, I kind of proved it when I was sending emails to all these places, and you know, they were basically going over the same thing I was, and you know, my opinions were just as valid as anybody else's. So if you're in that situation and you have that and you're listening and you got that, man, start up your own podcast. Go for it. It'll be great. As always, the show is sponsored by Stephanie's Country Candles, hand-poured country candles and more. And you can visit us online at stephaniescountrycandles.com. That is STEPHANIES, no apostrophe, countrycandles.com. And so that is the show for this week. Hopefully I'll talk to you soon, and you have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
You can tear a building down, but you can't erase a memory. These houses may look torn down, but they have a value you can't see. This is where I come from. I come.
here for so many years.
Yeah.
For a profit, you'll take control.